27 of the New Testament section of the Bible. Page 27, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of the Lord.
If you'd like to keep your Bibles open. And also just to say that the passage that come up on the screen may not be, it's not the Pew Bibles, because it was Bring Your Bible to Church Day, so I did put it on the screen. It's the NIV, because that's the one that I use. So it'll be slightly different, but only in certain words. Let's pray. Father God, help us to hear you, be challenged and be changed. Speak to us now from Scripture. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, are you? There is only 20 days to go. 20 days before Christmas, or from 11 o'clock, 469 hours until Christmas Day. Or, if we assume that you all sleep for about 8 hours a day-ish, some of you I know sleep for a lot more than that. But anyway, if we assume it's 8 hours a day, then actually it's 309 hours, which actually is quarter past 11. So it's 308 hours and 45 minutes until Christmas Day. So are you ready? Are you ready? So much to do, and only 308 hours and 45 minutes to achieve it all. Or perhaps you're thinking, well, actually, no, it's a breeze. It's quite easy. Mainly because I don't have to do it. I have a little person at home who does that for me. Or I'm going to my mother's for Christmas. Thank you, mother. So, you know, it's much easier. So let's change it. Are you ready for winter? Well, according to the forecasters, this year the UK is set for the highest snowfall in years. The long-range weather forecast tells us that we are going to get 6 weeks of... in 6 weeks, unleashing 4 months of heavy snow. Trouble is, this was announced in September, and I've done a bit, if you do the maths, it doesn't quite work. So it was the end of September, so according to that, middle of November, the icy blast came. So, but anyway... Crowborough, as you know, gets snow, and a lot of it. You'll enjoy it, Steve, if it comes. There's a lot of snow. So are you ready? Or are you a bit like me? You think about it, but you fail to prepare for the snow. And so when it arrives, you think, yeah, I do need a new snow shovel, and some salt would have been good, but I just don't get round to it. So are you ready? I think that's what it's all about now, because we are in Advent, preparing for Christmas. And the big question is, isn't about whether we're ready for Christmas. The question is whether we are ready for the return of Jesus in all his glory. Are you ready? It's a bit like Christmas in terms of that we know it's coming, but it's not like Christmas because we don't know a precise date. It's more like about the snow because we're not quite sure if and when snow will arrive. But unlike the snow, Christmas, the second coming is a guarantee like Christmas. But are we ready? Your heart will say, well, of course. But the passage we looked at challenges us today and says, are you really ready for the Lord's second coming? And how much does it matter? So this story follows on from the one that Steve spoke about last week and actually brings up the theme again of division. This is a parable, a simple story explaining a complicated truth. So here Jesus is saying what the kingdom, coming of the kingdom of heaven will be like. When the Messiah returns, what will it be like? Background to this story, this is a Jewish wedding. And Jewish weddings were not only joyful, they were very, very long. Very protracted affairs, sometimes going on for 2 weeks. The couple wouldn't go away on honeymoon. They'd stay at home and their friends and their family would come and they'd celebrate. Let's look at the beginning of the passage. It says, at the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. NIV translates it as virgins. The NRSV translates it as bridesmaids. But it's a relaxed affair. It's a thing where actually the bridegroom sets the time agenda. Unlike in this country where it tends to be the bride. I took a wedding last week and the bride was late by 20 minutes, Danny. Thank you. And apparently it wasn't her fault. It was the bridesmaid, apparently. But anyway, let's not go there. But in this story, in this culture, it's very much about the bridegroom setting the agenda. They didn't know when the bridegroom was going to be there, but they would turn up. And the virgins were there to escort the bridegroom into the house. Verse 2, 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones took oil in jars along with their lamp. The bridegroom was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Jesus in this story is talking about two distinct groups, the wise and the foolish. It's a very biblical model. For those of you who remember back to when we looked at Proverbs, this theme comes up in Proverbs again and again and again about the wise and the foolish. It can almost be translated as the wise, those who seek and follow God, and the foolish, those who actually follow after the world. So here we've got two groups, the wise and the foolish virgins, or bridesmaids. The wise know that the bridegroom is coming and prepare ahead and take extra oil. The foolish ones assume that he will come soon and they don't need anything extra. They don't need any preparations. It'll just happen soon. But time drags. And the bridegroom doesn't come. And they fall asleep. And then suddenly they're awoken by the sound of the bridegroom coming. And that leaps them into action. At midnight, a cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And all the virgins woke up and they trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There's not enough for both of us, for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil, buy some for yourself. And while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. Suddenly, they went from being asleep to being in activity. The thing they were there for, the one thing they were there for, to welcome and escort the groom, they were completely unawares of. For the wise girls, that was fine, because they were able to prepare. They'd taken the extra oil. But the foolish ones had not. And there wasn't enough oil to go around. So they had to leave and had to go to the shops. And whilst that, the bridegroom arrived. And then this happened. The virgins who went with him to the wedding, the virgins who were ready went in with him to the banquet, wedding banquet. The door was shut. Later the others also came. Lord, Lord, this opened the door for us. He replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. So once he arrived, he went in and the door was shut. It wasn't one of these things where you could just sneak in the back. You're a bit late. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Once you were late to the wedding banquet, the door was shut and sealed. You were not granted access. They were locked out. So the foolish girls didn't just miss a nice meal and the welcome of the bridegroom. They missed the whole event. They were shut out of the wedding. They missed everything. And look at the last verse. It's a killer. Verse 12. But he replied, "Truly, I do not know you." So not only did they not gain access, when they tried and they said, "Lord, we're here," he said, "I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. You weren't there for me. I don't know who you are. Go away." Wonderful. It's a hard story from the first century Jewish wedding. How did Jesus use this to look to his return? Well, the virgins or the bridesmaids are us. We are the people waiting in the end times. We're waiting for the return of Jesus. We're waiting for the kingdom of God to come in its full power. Half of them weren't prepared and half of them were prepared. And what happens with the unprepared is it's not good. And the message we should need to take away from the whole of this is we need to be prepared at all times. We need to expect it, even though we don't know when it's going to be. Most of the Jews were not prepared for Jesus' first coming. They didn't recognize him. They didn't see him. They didn't recognize the Messiah. And what he is saying now in this is, you are my church. You are the bride of Christ. Do not make the same mistake the Jews made. Be ready for him coming again. His hope for us is better because he's told us exactly what it's going to look like. I think there are three lessons for us here and now. So what's the first one? First one is keep calm and don't be fooled. The girls looked all the same, but they weren't. Only half of them were ready, and they went in to enjoy the festivities. For the others, the door was shut. It's very possible for us to be in church, to come to church every week, and be a stranger to the Holy Spirit. It's possible to have a lamp that looks good, that we do all the right things, but there's no oil in it. It's possible that one day, to the great surprise of people who have attended church their whole life, Jesus will say, "I never, ever knew you. I'm sorry, you can't come in." This is a huge surprise to churchgoers. In Matthew's day, it would have been a massive surprise to those who thought themselves to be religious and holy. And it is religious. It is a big surprise to us today. The big question is not, do you come to church? The big question is, have you committed your life to Christ and walk with him every day of your lives? This passage tells us we cannot bank on church attendance as qualification for eternal life. And we need to take that really seriously. Keep calm and don't be fooled. Second thing is, we need to discover there are some things that are yours and cannot be borrowed. You need to possess them for yourself. It's not possible to rely on somebody else. Just because you know somebody famous doesn't mean you're famous. Holiness is the same. You cannot trade it off somebody else. You are not what other people are. So you can't say, "Well, the thing is, I come from a Christian family, or I live a good life, or I come to church." That should be enough, surely. My family believe. My parents believe. Apparently not. Because in the passage, it tells us that actually it's about what we have. The oil that allowed them access was the thing that the bridesmaids themselves had. Not anything that could be borrowed. There was not enough. The bridegroom will come. Jesus will come. And it'll be too late. You have to own it for yourself. It is not about your family, your past. It's about the commitment you have made now and where you stand with Christ. So, don't be fooled. You have to own it. It's yours. And the third thing is, it can just be too late. Too late is a terrible, terrible verdict. The job that you've just lost, it's too late to say, well, actually, I'll try harder. The divorce that has just come through, you can't turn around and say at that point, well, actually, how about we start counselling now? The exam that you opened the paper of, thinking, I need to start some revision. These are terrible, terrible words. It's too late. And never more than when it's applied to the second coming. Because when we see Jesus, when somebody says, there he is, and he comes in his glory, that's too late. That moment's too late. You can't say, wow, I didn't think of that. I'll give my life to Christ. Because it's too late. Yesterday, we had a lovely service here, a Light Up Your Life, where we remember people who have died and we have lost and we mourn. And for some of those people, it's too late. Whether we like it or not, it's too late. Because when they were living, they did not give their lives to Christ. We need to make sure we do not miss out on the party. Miss out on what we've been invited to. Jesus says, readiness is the key. Don't be late. Do it now. So what do we need to do because of that? I think the first thing is this. That we need to be alert and remain vigilant. For those of us who know and follow Jesus, make sure that nothing pulls us away. We can look around the chairs in this church. You can think of other churches you've been to, people you know, who used to know and follow Jesus, who used to sit in these chairs and no longer do because they don't believe anymore. They've walked away. We can think of ourselves in our lives and how sometimes actually we've walked away from knowing Christ. So we need to be vigilant and make sure we do not let go. And the second thing is, we need to tell other people about Jesus. We can't wait. If this event is an event which we know is coming, we don't know when it is. If you think, oh, it's ages away, but we don't know when it is. If people we know and people we love and people we care for do not know Christ, then they are too late. You're thinking, well, the trouble is, it's Christmas, I don't upset them. But spending eternity without God because of where you stood with Christ is far more difficult to cope with than a bit of discomfort over Christmas. Perhaps what you do is invite to services. We have enough of them running. And we have a wide range of choices you could go for. Or perhaps bring them to the Explore course. Or just talk to them. And pray for them. The other thing is, if we don't know Jesus, if we're here today and we don't know Jesus, we've always been like, yeah, fine, but, you know, keep a bit arm's length. I'm quite happy with church, but I don't want to sign up for the whole package. Then actually, the big question is, he needs to be Lord of your life. And why wait? Act now, before it's too late, because I don't know when it's coming. As we said last week, Steve said last week, nobody knows except the Lord. And we're very complacent. So don't wait. Don't wait for an opportunity. Don't wait till you're older. Don't wait till the great moment comes. Do it now. During communion, assuming the Lord hasn't come before then, Ian and Wendy Roberts will be in the prayer chapel, and they would love to pray with you. They would love to pray with you about meeting Jesus. Do it now. Don't sit on the fence. There is no fence. There wasn't a third set of bridesmaids who sort of got in through the back door. They were in or they were out. Don't wait. Advent gets us to think about Jesus coming again, about standing before him and saying, Lord, Lord, and my prayer for all of us and our friends and family is that he will say, come in and join the party, and not, I never knew you. Let's pray. Father God, we are challenged by this passage. We are challenged by the imagery. Help us to never let go of you. Help us to keep on seeking you in our lives, telling other people about Jesus, so that we can look forward to the day when you come again and all pain and sorrow will cease and we will be with you forever. Help us this Advent season to be people who are passionate for telling others about Jesus. Not the baby in the manger, but the Saviour who is crucified for everyone. And all they need to do is come to him on bended knees and ask for forgiveness. Help us to take this seriously this year, Lord, and help us to take action. In Jesus' name, amen.